Brian Bombard, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I've known you a long time. I've worked with you a long time, and you're one of the most reluctant people to come on the podcast, even though you could benefit from it greatly.
I don't really like hearing my own voice on messages or seeing myself on TV. It's embarrassing.
Now, just not to point out the obvious, you realize you talk all day, all the time, and you're one of the best storytellers I've ever met.
I recognize that and actually had that conversation recently and laughed.
Let's just get started. Introduce yourself and tell us where you're from.
Brian Bombard, originally from Catalina Island, California. Moved down here permanently in 2004. Prior to that, was working in the U.S., 2 months at sea. My off time was spent here in between being at sea. And it just got harder to get back on the plane.
Because your family's been down here for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Again, your family created, to recap in case they haven't seen your brother's episode, your family started Harbor Reef.
Yes.
You guys all came through Catalina Island. Your dad and your brothers, and you guys had the coolest story of coming down that Kyle shared about how methodical your dad was about finding where the wind line was at, the difference between the climate in Marbella, San Juanillo, Nosara, Tamarindo, and you guys chose here. Fill us in on your journey here. Like, how'd you get from Catalina to here? And give us your version of it. I've heard your brother's, but I want to hear yours.
Yeah, so my brother Kyle, probably, if you guys have seen his podcast, is he laid it out pretty well. We came down here late 90s, and we traveled around Costa Rica quite a bit. And it was funny, because once we all hit Nosara, it stuck. It stuck for us, because we loved the jungle, we liked the surf, we liked what it was, that's what it had to offer. So from there, you know, our parents bought here, and we kept coming back and visiting. Obviously, my brother stayed with my parents, but I came back visiting.
Go ahead and include the hotel, because somebody might not have caught that.
When
you say your family's bought here, like...
Yeah, we started Harbor Reef. The first property my dad bought was a fishing camp, and we made Harbor Reef out of that. He did that on his 50th birthday, and it was spectacular. Everybody was excited. I was in the military at the time, and so going through the Coast Guard and stuff like that, it was always nice to be able to kind of take a break and come down here and just visit.
Did Nosara become your constant getaway?
It did. Nosara was like, it was the spot that I went to whenever I did my annual vacation in the States. Nosara was my destination.
So when did you get here full-time all the time?
Full-time all the time was 2004. I was kind of spending a lot of time prior to that, but it was off time between shifts at sea and things like that. And then in 2004, I pulled the plug and basically shifted careers and made Nosara my home. It was kind of funny.
What was your first car here?
My first car here was a Toyota Land Cruiser. They call it a Toyotona. And probably my fondest, not quite funniest memory was when the tire sheared off and rolled past us in the car and went off into the jungle. And the car fell in the corner and I was like, well, I guess we're stopping here for a minute.
I think everyone has one of those stories where the tire just broke off and rolled away.
Yeah, pretty much all the bolts popped off and like it just kind of left.
Remember that time that happened to me and that green 4Runner?
I remember over that. I passed you going by Pilata. Y'all good? You're like, yeah, we got this.
Crime, cars, and electronics. Those are our negatives in my opinion in that order. All right, so continuing on your journey, you're now a proud husband and father of two beautiful kids, and you have an active life, but take us from 2004 to here, because you also used to party way too much. I used to yell at you about that. I was scared to get too close to you because you and your family, like when you guys throw down, you throw down.
Nosara is a fun spot. And you know, it's a lot like where we came from. You know, Costa Rica inherently was kind of like, look after your own, look after your family. And that's basically what we did. So Nosara was fun. You had good surf, you had great beaches, and you just, I traveled up and down the coast looking for the best waves. I was single. I was having a good time. But kind of fast forwarding through things, I met my wife on the beach here, actually. Like, my life for me became whole because of what I have been through in Nosara. You know, I met my wife walking my dog on the beach with one of my buddies, invited her and her sister and friends up to the house for sunset, and then realized, holy mackerel, I got like 5 girls coming to my house. I can't do this by myself. So I invited one of my buddies, and then I was like, hey, whatever you do, don't talk to this one. That one's the one I like. And sure enough, she talked to him the whole time. So it was pretty funny.
It's funny how that works out, huh?
Yeah. So it took me about 7 years. I finally convinced her to go out on a date, and then the rest is history. We have 2 little boys together. They're now 4, Morrison, and Nicholas is 8, going to local school here, and, you know, just kind of made my life complete, if you will.
Man, so it's, first off, I like this version of you much more than I like the old version of you. But fast forwarding to now, very serious, very strong worker. Like, it's literally from, like, here to here. How did you fully, like, engage? I really want to know the answer to that.
I think it was a mixture. I mean, you and the boys here at Surfing Nassara were, for me, when I was working by myself, kind of, I guess, my number one competition in my mind. Because you always got to have, it's like when you surf. You always want to surf with people that are better than you, right? Because that's the only way you're going to get better. So for me, in my work environment, when I was kind of doing this alone, I used you guys as my example, because you guys kind of, you were doing it different than the rest in town. And then when I found out my wife was pregnant, that, I think, flipped a switch in my head. And I realized, man, I can't do this by myself. I can't do these kind of hours. And really, to be able to do a good job, you need to work as a team. And I'd worked as a team in the military and other things throughout my life in past. And Surfing Nassara was like a family to me. And so, you know, you and Eric and the boys, allowing me to come in and be part of that, really was a big shift in my life. I was extremely grateful for it. And then, you know, the opportunity working with you to be able to become a partner and have ownership stake in Surfing Nassara just made things better, right? Like, I really have always been grateful for the opportunity and for everything that I've learned, and being able to work as a crew, it's just different.
What do you personally think about what's good about real estate in Nassara? And then I'm gonna ask what's bad, so be thinking about that too.
Well, with good, there's always bad, but the good about real estate in Nassara is everybody that's coming down here, they're kind of finding Nassara in their own way. It's like reading a good book. Everybody reads it a little differently, if you will. Nassara for me was home because of the things that I found, and I really enjoyed it. The kindness of the people, and I think we still have a lot of that today. But inherently, being in real estate here and being involved in these community projects, you know, between, you know, Bar Guiones tree planting, my mom, and the wildlife refuge, and the things that are going on in this community, you really feel like you have the ability to help the community and I guess give your opinion on the best way to, if you can, guide it.
However, you work in real estate, which is, if you say the word real estate around here, that's a bad word. True. You're the one causing the crowds. You're the one causing the houses. It's your fault. So I'm asking you, what's good about that business where there's so much bad?
What's good about doing real estate in Nassara, I think, is our ability, one, to help people fulfill a dream like we have. It's also your ability to help guide the development and growth in the town. You can't make the decision for people, but you can help educate them and give them the information to make a wise or good decision. It's up to them to do that.
Okay, so yeah, that's an interesting point. Your family started the Wildlife Refuge, and if I understood the story right, which I'm pretty sure I did, you basically, your family's given everything to this town. She truly loves the animals. So my point is, how can you be such a hypocrite working in real estate, but at the same time, your lineage and your whole family's done more than anybody who's bitching at you about being a real estate agent? Do you get it? I want to understand that, man, because you're like a walking conundrum. What's that all about?
That's a really tough question, Rich. My family's given everything in this town as best as we can. We do love it, and we've tried our
best.
For
somebody who doesn't know you, just go ahead and clarify what you mean by that.
My mom started the Wildlife Refuge. We've worked with the security programs to help develop security guards on the beach. We've worked with the replanting projects. We've done so many community-based projects, whether through our company, through ourselves, my family.
Stay on your family real quick for the Wildlife Refuge. You didn't clarify what it does. Say what the Wildlife Refuge is.
So the Wildlife Refuge started literally out of our house, out of our hotel initially.
What was
the
goal?
Our goal was really because we were seeing these injured animals as the community was growing, and they were getting electrocuted as new, you know, electrical systems were getting put in, and the animals were using the power lines in order to get from one section to the next. And so we started receiving these injured and orphaned monkeys years and years and years ago.
And you're saying they started in your bedrooms?
They literally started in our house, right? Like, And my mom started rehabilitating them, helping with their burns and things like that. And then it just kind of unfolded from there. But it was literally our family paying for all the medical supplies, all these things. People were starting to give us donations because that's all my mom was doing. But it was really like our family paid for it. We actually got, my family got into real estate to fund the wildlife refuge and the needs of the animals. So
you're saying that the very start of the thing to help save the animals in the community was started and sourced by real estate, your mom starting Reef Realty.
100%, yeah.
Isn't that a bit of an interesting thing? I don't think many listeners know that. Actually, I know most listeners don't know that.
No, it was just an interesting situation that what was causing the issue we had to get into in order to be able to fund the protection side of it. It was interesting.
So the survival of what saved the animals was the thing that people vilify.
100%.
Okay, so moving forward, how do you live with it today? Because it's really easy to hop on social media and type something mean or just yell at the realtors. Like, how does it really work? Are you choosing the houses that people are doing? Who's in control of this? Do you think the realtors are causing all the development, or what's causing all this?
I think that there's a mixture of stuff. One, there's a strong desire for people to be here. They see the lifestyle that we lead, and they also, you know, they're coming from densely populated communities, and they like what Nassar is. Realtors, they have the ability to be somewhat influential, but it's not our property. It's not up to us, right? They're going to meet with an architect. The architect's going to give them a design. They have a vision in their mind of what they want, what they've stayed in, what they liked, what they disliked. So our goal, or my goal, I would say, as a realtor, has been to help educate people. What we would hope is that you build as modestly as possible, leaving as much jungle as possible, leaving as much vegetation as possible, because what's the real reason why we're here? We're here because of the animals, the wildlife, the lifestyle, the jungle, and the things that we truly love about Nassar. So if we lose that, then where are we at? Right?
That's a good question. So I guess first thought, you just said that you like it when people build modestly and honor things. There's a lot of stuff around here that I don't think is too very modest.
Correct.
So what's, they're not listening to you? What's going on?
No, I mean, what we can do is go on the property and help educate them. Hey guys, this is a dominant tree for the canopy in this region. The animals are going to probably be using this to move from area to area. Learning about the foliage, learning about the jungle, learning about what's here, what's important, and you know how taking out a lot of these trees affects the groundwater, affects the wildlife, affects everything, and also affects you as a human being living in this community. So if you go into a property and you clear out all the trees, because there's trees all the way around you, you got to think about the property next door to you could build, the property on the other side you could build, property behind you could build. So if everybody did the same thing, where would we be? We wouldn't have the jungle. We wouldn't have the trees. So working with good architects and working with people that are going to work with your desire of why we're all here. We're here because of the jungle. We're here because we want to spend time in Costa Rica, which is abundant in wildlife. Let's protect it. It's a natural resource.
Not in Jaco, Tamarindo, Capos, or many of the places. So you don't want to blow the place up and build mega mansions and turn into Jaco or anything crazy. You'd like for people to be respectful, but you're still willing to sell real estate.
Correct. People are going to build, they're going to buy here, and they're going to do things whether I exist or not. Me being here is literally irrelevant. I'm replaceable. But I feel like if I'm involved in it, and I have a bit of knowledge, at least I can feel comfortable that I'm passing that along to people and helping people learn more about the community that they're about to buy in, whether it's a good fit for them or not, and what's on the property and how they're going to affect the surrounding area if they move forward. Now, whether they choose to listen to me or not, I can't judge that. I can't do anything about that. But I can try and give them a platform to work with so that when they do talk to their architect, when they do talk to their builder, they at least are conscious of what they've got and what they're working with.
Have you noticed there's additional sounds like we're hearing now? You start to hear horns, the occasional siren,
yeah,
the noise from over here. I don't know if we can edit it out, but like there's a lot going on at the house where I live. There's so much construction, and it makes you think, God, we probably should go somewhere else. Where are you gonna go? So Nassar caught, like how are you feeling about Nassar being popular and all these things happening that emerging towns suffer through?
It's a double-edged sword. I mean, because I remember what it was like long ago, just like you. Like, I remember when we used to paddle out, and you were like, oh, it's crowded. I think I'm going to get out of the water. Why? Because there was like five guys on your peak. And you were like, oh, I don't know if I can get a wave. Now you paddle out, and you're like, There's not very many people. There's only like 200 people in the water today.
I switched to longboards and it helped a lot. That's why you're not surfing enough. You're still riding shortboards. You got to get on something bigger.
But, you know, I feel like we came here long ago. We actually had the privilege and the ability to enjoy Nassar when we found it. And everybody new that's coming here is finding it in their similar same way as we found it, just different, right? I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it totally does. I think you hit an interesting point there, because the people coming in now, let me say it this way. The people who've been here a while are pretty grumpy. Most people are tired of the growth. Many people tell me, heck, I get told several times a week, Nassar's gone, it's done, I'm out of here, it's over. But then at the same time, my next conversation is frequently someone coming in from somewhere else. They're like, oh my gosh, look at this majestic little town. Maybe one day it'll catch and become something. And from conversation to conversation, it's just like election year. I can't stand going to the States during election year, because one conversation is this side, then it's over here this side. There's very little middle ground. Yeah. It's the same thing for Nassar. The people who live here are pretty worked up. I'm mad right now because we can't record your episode because there's so many sounds going around, but I'm also a part of the problem. I sold something probably somewhere that's making some sort of noise or did something, right? So I even get mad at that. So I'm kind of mad at myself. I'm like a walking contradiction, right? But I share the same sentiment as you. If I wasn't here, someone else would be doing it. Yeah. I would actually way rather put the people who are selling real estate here in Nassar right now. I think we're kind of fortunate.
I think so too.
But the reality is you have to have a lot of money at this point to get positioned.
But you're buying a lifestyle too, remember.
Yes, so the people coming in want the lifestyle, as you alluded to earlier. Yeah. So here's my take. The people coming in, if we treat them nicely and say, hey, I'm here, you're here, let's enjoy this place together, but you're part of the solution. This is something I'll talk about with your older brother, Ryan.
We didn't also have a lot of the tools that we have today.
That's right.
As things were starting to expand. I mean, remember, the market and the place changed in 2010 with our architectural capabilities, materials that came available. Things changed in Nassar a lot from an architectural standpoint, the style of homes, the quality that you could get. Pre that, I mean, you remember, like, a lot of the pioneers that came into Nassar, the homes didn't have big windows. We didn't have a lot of light. You were happy to have a hammock and be able to just came here to surf. You dropped off the
mat. Concrete at it. That's what I remember. Throwing concrete at it to survive the earthquakes.
But I want to tap on something that you mentioned that I think is really important, because you have to look at the history of Nassar, and real estate actually is the foundation of why Nassar has the preserves and the trees and this funky, weird mixture that the town has.
You mean our weird layout that doesn't make any sense, as if it was off a failed development from some sort?
It's an epic failure.
Go ahead and tell that story real quick for anybody who hasn't heard it.
Well, if you don't know about it, I think it's really interesting. And you do in certain ways have to vilify a little bit of, or scrutinize, if you will, a little bit about real estate, because you know, you have to keep people in check. But at the same time, without real estate and without people interested in real estate, if you look back at the historical photos of Nassar, you'll quickly find Nassar was stripped cattle land. There weren't very many trees. It was fields. And so by real estate developers coming in, purchasing big swaths of land and creating a planned community, if you will, whether they did it right or not is completely irrelevant. The fact that they did it and they purchased it and it converted from cattle land into what it is today is really the baseline reason for why we have the preservation land that we do, and why our community is basically capable of voting in the people that we want to look after that are tasked with overseeing our preserves. So our community has a lot of say in what, in theory, in most any other beach town wouldn't exist and doesn't exist.
That's interesting. This special place on the planet that has the opportunity to become a model community was all created off a big mistake. It was a big failed golf course project.
It was.
So the golf course holes and the areas that we have now as green areas.
But you know what's interesting is the fact that this accident fell into the location that it did. It's just kind of an anomaly, which is fantastic, because we landed inside of a government preserve. So it made it even better. Not only do we have privately protected lands throughout our community, but we also have the federal government looking after our maritime zone. And then 3 miles out, like that's 3 nautical miles into the ocean, we have a maritime preserve for our turtles, we have a beach preserve, and then we have the community looking after things.
All right, I want to talk to you about turtles. They're important because of Osteonol, and we have a bunch of them. We even have some at Guiones, believe it or not. I personally get a little bummed with turtles whenever they're at OSD and I want to go surfing.
I mean, you don't want a 2,000-pound turtle falling on you in the lineup, dude.
I don't. I'm actually scared of them.
Yeah, I would be too.
I was in Palata at the reef one day shooting some photos with a photographer, Matt Vaughn. Shout out to him. And a turtle was like right there swimming all around, and he was swimming in the water. We just looked at each other. I was like, I'm kind of scared. Are you scared? He's like, yeah, what do we do? And I was like, let's leave it alone and get out of here. You can have it, turtle. But are you having any clients that are having any type of issues with proper lighting or anything to help with the turtles? Because from my side of things, nobody has argued that point. Even if we don't have the regulations in place or a sustainable building plan, which we definitely need, we'll talk about that next.
Agreed.
But I haven't had anybody not like the idea of keeping the turtles. I haven't had a single person.
No, I mean, you got to think about it. Most of the people that are interested in Osara, from my perspective, the people that I work with, like, it's a huge benefit. I mean, how many places on earth do you actually get to go down to the beach and see a turtle? How many places do you get to go out and surf and see one pop up in the lineup with you, man? Like, so if you're conscious of that, like, I think that it's just part of the deal. It's what you're buying into. You're buying into an incredible location. And most everybody that I've worked with, they've been happy to do it.
All right, so Brian, you're a real estate agent. It seems like you sleep at night. You're comfortable with that.
Yeah.
All right, your family's giving a ton back. We've already established that. You give a bunch back. So that being said, we do not have a sustainable development plan in place. We've had temporary regulations come in place. So first things first, how did you feel about the regulations? Were you cool with them or not?
I was good with them. I think the community needs regulations. The way they were set up as far as some of the restrictions, height, things like that, I think needed some help. But I think that the town needs regulations.
Yep. So for the ones that came through, you were willing to deal with them for the greater good, even though you disagreed with how they're set up, essentially.
Yeah.
All right, makes sense.
My side, people love the nature. It's part of the reason why they're here. So I'm not seeing major companies come through that are trying to buy up big swaths of land to do, you know, huge developments. That's not the client base that I work with. And frankly, people are happy to work with regulations. A lot of them see the need for it.
We have a new demographic here, surprisingly. When I first got here, Ticos didn't generally come to Nosara from San Jose. What was that all about?
I just don't understand it, quite honestly. Initially, my understanding was we were just so far out there, right? The road sucked. It was horrible. But you know what? Those who lived here, we appreciated it. It was a great way of weeding people out. And the people that really wanted to be here, and I don't mean that wrong, right? I don't mean that in a poor way. I mean that, like, you really had to want what was in Nosara to deal with the road and things that you had to go through to get to
Nosara. Just go down the list, lack of services,
yeah.
Lack of everything, the dust, the road
itself. I mean,
when
I first moved here, I couldn't even have a cell phone. I didn't have a house
That's right.
phone. Like, when I left work, where the phone was, I was disconnected and it was amazing. I loved it, right? But that was a long time ago.
That was pre-kids.
That was back in a little bit different
and
era.
And needing to provide.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to hate you for that because you were able to roll around not caring while I was somewhere trying to eke out one bar of anything on a little crappy cell phone that I had to wait in line to get.
Well, you had to walk out almost knee deep on the beach into the water in order to get a cell phone bar.
Remember the spots where they were?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I tell my kids about that now and they're just like, whatever, Dad.
I think inherently the price point for land in the community it doesn't allow for some of these big corporations and big companies to come into Nosara. And what we're finding is it's individual people that want the same lifestyle that we have. They're enjoying this.
All right, so Brian, when I got here, I learned quickly that in Nosara, we got a lot of beefs with the government, we got a lot of beefs with each other, and also every industry fought about the same. Like the realtors kind of fought about the same, the yogi folks kind of fought about the same. Just name an industry, and it all kind of had similar patterns. As we sit here today, we're recording early part of 2023. Nosara is very, very different, but in a way it's still the same. One difference is it seems like we're getting along with Nicoya a little bit more, and San Jose people are coming here and trying to buy here and move here and relocate. When I got here, neither of those things happened. Nicoya was an enemy, and San Jose people hated Nosara and never came out here. What's that all about, man?
Good question, Rich. Nicoya was far away back in the beginning, right? It just seemed really far. And Samara was what was supposed to happen. They put the zoning plan into that area, but people liked Nosara. It was different.
Man, they sure do. Nosara's sticky. You gotta deal with a lot of craziness to be here, especially back then.
Of course.
I mean, when you say Nicoya was far away, it's still technically the same distance away, but it feels a little closer because the roads are, they still suck. They're
yes,
super
they do.
Bad. I'm not giving a shout out to the roads. I'm giving a shout out to it's better than it was.
Correct. Well, I mean, when my family first got here, they didn't even have a lot of the bridges over the rivers. So you got to think back in the early days of Nosara, getting to Nosara was complicated. So that's why Samara was easier. It had the paved road, it was the bus route, everything. Samara was supposed to happen. Nosara is what stuck. Nosara is what people liked.
If I heard you right, the reason why Nicoya didn't like us is because Samara was supposed to be the spot, and Nicoya's way over there, and Nosara's way over here, and for whatever reason, people kept coming to Nosara, and it got real popular. Did I hear you right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they focused their energy on Samara initially, and they didn't think that this place was had any value.
I would argue they focused a lot of it on Nicoya because their roads are great, and there's playgrounds all over the place.
That's very true.
Anyway, let's get off of that subject. I want to know why San Jose people are now coming in, because when I got here in the early years, it wasn't like that at all. There was just a couple families that knew about the pretty beaches, and I'm referencing South Gilney families, South mm-hmm. Gilney's families in particular, but it wasn't like it is now. Now we have Ticos from San Jose and elsewhere in the country all trying to come in. What's that all about? What changed?
I think that Nosara just became popular. You know, there's a new generation of people in San Jose. People are looking at things a little differently, and Nosara's hip.
Just look at the media. When I got here, the internet was still really, really slow. If you
we were
even
using dial-up back then.
And yeah, that's a good point. Between all the media publications, the internet, it caught.
Yeah.
It caught. And we also have a couple established hotels around here, mm-hmm. and there's a nice enough place to stay for a higher tier client, whereas in the past, we were pretty rustic and a little bit rough around the edges.
I agree.
Those are good points. All right, let's get off of real estate and let's get off of country stuff and jump straight back into Nosara and your opinion on some stuff. I want you to tell me your two or three favorite things about this place. What do you like to do, essentially?
I would say one of my most favorite things about Nosara is the fact that I get to live in a place similar to where I grew up. The town I grew up in, you were close to your family, you were close to people that you cared about, and you could get to everything easily.
But what did you like to do? I want to know what you like to do here.
What I love to do here, I love to surf, I love to fish. Those are two things that are consistent in Nosara, and I can do them pretty much anytime I want, as long as I can fit them into my work schedule, which is a little bit hectic.
So just like back home, Catalina Island back home, you were in the water there, you're in the water here.
Yeah. Everything that we do here is based around basically either the wildlife or the ocean, and I love that.
That makes sense. Now tell me two or three of your biggest dislikes for the place.
Dislikes for this place, Rich, that's a difficult question.
Especially when you're on camera and people are gonna watch it.
For me, I would say, I wish there was a more abundant educational resources, not only for the people that are living here as expats, but for the local Costa Rican community. I think that across the board, I wish we had better access to better quality education and more things coming in to support that.
Gotcha. What else?
The other thing would be medical. Man, Paradise Medical has been a phenomenal asset, and some of the new stuff that's popped up through our town. Holler out to Alejandro Gutierrez and his team, man. I really appreciate it. Man, they answer my calls late at night when the kids got a fever. But, you know, there's little things that still require us to have to drive, right? So I would say education and medical for me could always be better no matter where we live in the world. And for me, those are my two things.
Okay. What are your three favorite restaurants here, and what do you like to get there?
Ooh. Rosie's is always a home run for me because I just like the food, right?
Breakfast or lunch?
A mixture. I would go with like a brunch because you have to be before 11:30 because then you can get what you want, right? So breakfast, I would say, probably leans better.
Okay.
And their arroz con pollo is phenomenal, right? You know, a new recent favorite, I love Howlers. Howlers is awesome. Great tacos. He makes a good mezcalito. Like, the food's good. Right? And there's a constant flow of people just wandering around that pop in for a drink or whatever. So if you sit in the right place long enough in Nosara, you'll bump into pretty much everybody you know. Yeah, I'd say those are my two favorites. And then, like, if I want to go someplace nice and fun, just kind of out of the way with my wife, I like Pilo's Bar, but she's not as fond of the ceviche as me. It's just kind of out of the way, in Garza, feet in the sand, ice cold beer, and the ocean's right in front of me.
Since we covered your side of that one, what was she like?
My wife likes La Luna, and Destiny definitely is a top favorite on her shelf. Really, really good food, and the ambiance at La Luna, I mean, where else can you go sit right on the beach, watch a sunset? I think a sleeper, though, guys, is Gera Magnifica. It's a sleeper, man. Like, that's one that people don't know because it's not well advertised and because they shut down in between private groups and weddings. I would say that Gera Magnifica is a highly overlooked location for a restaurant because they're not making a huge effort to put themselves out there.
So Waukes restaurant.
And it's in Waukes, it's in the backyard. So I love to take people by there and just walk in, show them the view and say, hey guys, guess what? This exists. And most of them don't even know that it exists. Their wine menu is good, their food's phenomenal, and it's generally pretty private.
All right, those are pretty good options. Thanks for sharing that. All right, Brian, use this platform. What would you like for people who are coming to Nosara or considering moving to Nosara, what would you like for them to know?
I think it's important for us to remember that a lot of us are moving to Nosara, not all from small towns. We're coming from big cities, larger environments, and we're moving into a small town. We're all, whether we came here 20 years ago or more, or we're coming here today, a year ago, I think we're all kind of coming here for the baseline reasons of it's different than where we were. It's got the jungle and wildlife. There's something about this community that we all love.
So what do you want them to know that they should consider before they come here?
But what I want people to take into mind, know, or remember is you're moving to a small town, right? So your actions have an impact. It is a small town. There's only a couple thousand people that live here, right? We're gonna see each other walk on the beach. We're gonna see each other out at dinner. Man, our kids are probably gonna be playing in the same place or going to school together. I'm gonna see you probably having coffee. So love your neighbor. Do unto others as you'd have done unto you. Kind of just look after your community because your actions here do have an impact. And being in a city, things that happen, you can go about your day. You're probably never going to see someone again, right? Nosara is different.
So you're saying the people coming in are the solution?
They are the solution. And those of us who live here need to remember that if there's things that we don't like about our town, as new people move into this town, it's not always a bad thing. It can be a source of good if we channel our energy in the right way.
Well, that was my next question, was what do you want the people who live here to know? So that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah, I think that, you know, us who have lived here a long time need to also remember, there's a lot of things that are happening in Nosara and we know about it, they don't. So for us to be able to take the time and the energy, not getting mad, but helping educate the newcomers and the people coming into town, that, hey guys, we have a couple of things that aren't really working and we've got people that are donating their own personal time to help make things better. Let's work together as a team, let's work together as a community to make our community better because it only benefits all of us.
Okay, so what is your biggest fear for the place? Like what keeps you up at night when you think about Nosara if you're worrying?
My fear is that as new people come to town, we don't take the time to educate them. People like me and yourself and others, Kyle and, you know, Bram and Brandon and all these people in town aren't doing this anymore. And, you know, the committees fall apart and we're not helping educate the new people as the town grows to do the right thing, to help with new septic systems and new features that are coming in that can help take the load off of electrical systems. All of our water comes from wells, right? So our groundwater is important. What are we doing to help protect that, right? What are we doing as newcomers coming to town to help benefit the local people of Nosara? What committees are we gonna get involved in? How are we gonna use our time? Are we still working? Are we opening businesses? You know, how are we gonna employ people? Are we paying Social Security? Are we doing the things that are right that we would want done to us?
So it sounds like your answer to that question is you're worried about overdevelopment and people not spreading the right information to the right people to make a difference.
Yeah, and people to stop caring. Remember, we love Nosara, all of us do. There's a reason why we're here. So just being able to continue that trend forward and sharing that and helping people not have to reinvent the wheel and helping them be part of Nosara.
All right, so Brian, you have any big thank yous or messages or funny jokes or stories or anything that you want to share while you have this platform?
No, I just like to thank my wife and my family for putting up with me as a human being.
They all deserve the crazy that
stuff
shout
that
out.
I do. I'd really like to thank my mom and my dad for being able to get over the fear and having the will to move to Costa Rica, for picking Nosara, for starting the hotel, and for my mom, man, amazing woman, starting the wildlife refuge, giving what she's given to this community and the animals over the years. And
so you're grateful for it now.
I am. She's put a lot into it. My older brother Ryan for the fire department, man, that guy's crazy, the amount of stuff that he does. And definitely the team at Surfing Nosara, man. Without them and my family as this nucleus, man, huge shout out to all the guys at Surfing Nosara, girls, everybody. They're amazing.
So Brian, you got a bunch of brothers and a big old family. Give me a couple of quick interesting anecdotes about Ryan. Like what's Ryan all about from your perspective?
Ryan's hilarious. Ryan's willing to run in a direction that most won't. You see a fire, Ryan's running at it, right? You see an alligator, Ryan's running at it. You see a snake, Ryan's running at it.
Was it always like that?
Yeah, actually, like most of the boys in my family were going the wrong direction. We're like, all right, let's go. Let's see what that's all about, and where other people are going the other way.
You know how I picture Ryan coming up is sitting in his room listening to some sort of hard, like death metal, rock, super, super hard, heavy type music, gearing up for the rest of his life to just go attack whatever it is that he's going to face.
Yeah, that's pretty much about right. Yeah, it was pretty good. As a child growing up, Ryan and you just meet a lot of the good metal bands that I like today.
All right, what about Kyle? You guys have a couple years between you, but and you're also very different people. You same last name and same eye shape, but yeah. You're very different people. Tell me a little bit about Kyle. Well,
Kyle grew up mostly here, right? He moved here when he was 10. So his kind of foundation of what he was brought up around is very different, where Ryan and I grew up in the States, kind of went down different paths than what Kyle had initially as kids, right? But Kyle has been fun because he grew up inside of our family business, inside the hotel, dealing with the refuge, helping mom and dad, and me, ultimately, at the end of the day, become accustomed to the lifestyle of Nosara. But Kyle's fun to work with because he has grown up here, and he understands how business is done in Nosara, which is kind of fun, and so working around him has been, it's been a lot of laughs, that's for sure.
Whew. Kyle, man, don't even get me started on Kyle. I'll start bitching for an hour or two. I didn't like young Kyle either. I don't like young Kyle at all. I like Kyle now. He's getting a lot better. So shout out to Kyle. Not Kyle from the past, though. That guy's a bonehead. You obviously know I love Kyle. But he was a bonehead. I'll stand by it.
We were all young. We were crazy. So it was a good time.
What they all told me about you as a kid back in Catalina was you were just the man. And the barrel of fun. And you just played volleyball and had long hair and walked around seeing shoots and all that stuff. Is that accurate? Is that about right?
I wouldn't look at myself that way, but I did have a lot of fun, man. I had a great childhood. Growing up where I did, it was a lot like Nosara. You're just around a bunch of different people all the time. I mean, I enjoy hanging out with everybody. Like,
yes, you do.
It's a good time.
You're good at it, too.
Sit at the bar having a beer with everybody and just listening to people's stories and then telling some of the stupid stuff that I've done. Man, I'm surprised we're all still around. But I did know a ton of the people. And I mean, I go out diving with them or go out wakeboarding with them or whatever. So bringing Kyle down when he was a little kid, it was pretty funny. We'd be on the dance floor deck and I'd have him on my shoulders. And I remember just walking around and being like, okay, which girl do you think's cute? And he's like, I like that one. And I was like, all right, cool, boom. Pick him off, put him down in front of him and be like, hey, I'm gonna go talk to your sister. So I'll be back. Look after him. It was pretty fun, man. It was a small town, a lot like Nosara though, right? A little bit different setup.
Interesting. All right, so now tell me about your mom.
Mom has always had a huge heart. We've always had animals around, and she's always been like, hey, what do you think? As kids, we had snakes, we had ducks, we had birds, we had all kinds of stuff. So her moving to Costa Rica, she always wanted to be a vet. And I think moving to Costa Rica gave her her calling. It let her kind of nurture that side of her life, and she was able to really grow into an amazing, amazing person and give back to the community. I have no words to explain it.
I was just about to say, how do you quantify the amount of her efforts as in giving back? Because she's also fighting a losing battle. Yeah. It's an expanding town. Construction is going to happen whether you or she or I exist. But she's inside fighting the fight.
She is. I just don't have words for what she does. I mean, she gives all the time. So, I'm proud of her.
All right, finally, where's your dad? Tell us about
him. My dad's amazing. I wouldn't be the man that I am today without him. I mean, one of my childhood memories after everything we've been through was a stormy night, and my dad stayed up late at night. I had an earache, I remember crying, and he just sat there holding me. My dad has always been there for me, good or bad, but I think the funny part was right about 20 years old, I remember calling home being like, hey, I was kind of a dumb child. Like, I always thought I knew how to, I knew what was going on and I had it all figured out. It was about 20 when I called him up and was like, hey man, you're actually really smart and I could use some advice. So dad moving to Costa Rica, I think, was a blessing for all of us. He went through a lot. Him and mom gave all, and they gave us an amazing life by giving us the ability to be here and be around these amazing people. This place is cool. I dig it. I'm thankful every single day that I get up. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have my wife, I wouldn't have my two boys, and I wouldn't have this amazing place.
Thanks for coming in, Brian Bobbard, and thanks to your family for everything you guys have done over the years.
Yeah, man, it's been fun.